without saying any names, there were a couple of individuals who happened to see my sermon notes before I came out, and they saw that it was only two pages, and they smiled like I've never seen them smile before. I didn't know I could make them so happy. So I told them if everything goes well, we'll get out early on good behavior today. But I don't have a lot of notes today. We're going to talk about something, though, that's very, very important. And that is praying God's promise. And so the main thing that I want us to get from this message is, what is God's promise? Now, we all come from different walks of life, and my story and your story are probably very, very different. But can be very similar all at the same time. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the promise. The one thing that is the same is God's promise for everyone, His ultimate promise. And so today I want us to talk about the importance of how you and I can pray God's promise and continue to pray God's promise. Now, there may be an individual sitting here today who's never prayed God's promise. And that is why we come here to worship. We come here to worship, to sing praise and honor to God Almighty. But at the very same time, if there's one who comes and worships with us who is not a born-again believer in Christ, that is what God's word's for. That's His promise. And then once you become a child of God, you still have that very promise to hold on to, of something that will carry you all the way into eternity. I don't say carry you into the grave, because your soul will not be carried into that grave. As a child of God, when you draw that last breath, you know, your soul is ushered into the very gates of heaven, into glory. That is because you prayed God's promise. Jesus made it very clear, and this is something we've talked about a lot in Wednesday night prayer meeting, and even here on Sunday mornings lately. You know, if you recall, the first week of February, we started the prayer series. The first message was Jesus, the intercessor. And that's really what it all begins with. And we have moved from week to week on different points of interest as to why we pray and what believers should do with their prayer life. Versus having an idle prayer life, a stagnant, stale prayer life. We need to have a vibrant prayer life. And so today we're going to talk about the praying of God's promise. And Jesus has made it very clear, and all of you who are sitting here today, you know that you will face various trials and tribulations from the day in which you were born to the day in which you go home. You will face many trials and tribulations, some that were self-induced, some who just happened to come along the way because of life in general. But you will continually face trial and tribulation. But for you as a believer in Christ, that is a reason for you to understand and practice praying God's promise and holding steadfast to His word. You hold fast to His word because He holds fast to you, because His word never fails. His word is very powerful, and it will hold fast until the very ends of this earth, and then we will be with Him. Jesus has given us, and God Himself has given us Jesus, His Son, but Jesus has given us many different amazing tools that are at our exposure or disposal at all times, but we don't often take full advantage of. The first thing that Jesus Christ has done for us, as He told us when He ascended back to His throne on high, He allowed the Holy Spirit to come in. So He placed His Spirit inside each of us, each of you, anyone who sits here this morning, who's a child of God. You have the Spirit of the living God living within you to guide you and to empower you. And then, of course, in addition to His Spirit, which leads us and guides us, which is our moral, our spiritual compass, we have the privilege of prayer. And that is the most important thing that you can do outside of studying God's word is prayer. I hope that the only time that you hear a prayer is not just when you come here on Sunday morning or Sunday night or on Wednesday. I hope that your prayer is heard audibly from your own mouth, from your own lips, each and every day, that you pray boldly, fervently, that you enter into the very throne room of God every opportunity that presents itself through prayer, knowing that His Son Jesus is the advocate. Remember, He is the mediator. He is our intercessor. He is there on our behalf, your behalf. Whenever we pray, it allows us to have great communication and contact with God. And that's a privilege to be able to pray. What a privilege it is to know that any time in your life you can go to Him, no matter what's going on, no matter what you're dealing with. And I know I've probably said these words in some form or fashion over the last month or so, but it's important. You need to remember that. You need to hold fast to knowing that having a prayer life with God is the most important thing you can do once you become a child of His. Becoming His child is the most important. And then once you become that child, as I talked about earlier this morning about the acorn, that acorn grows, you want your spiritual faith to continue to grow. It's a continual maturation process that none of us will fully obtain until we see our Jesus. Then we will be mature in our Lord Jesus Christ. But every day that we live here on this earth, it should be a new day, a new experience, a new opportunity to grow in the spirit and the truth of who God is and what His Son has done for you. As marvelous as a gift of prayer it is, God's Bible, the holy and infallible Word of God, is also a very marvelous gift that He has given us. Aren't you glad that God chose to anoint men and anoint women to live godly lives so that we would have His Word in the year 2019? Double that year. Multiply it times 1,000, times 1,000, times 1,000. And this word that you hold today is still going to ring true. It's not going to change. There's nothing that's going to ever change. Man may change or attempt to change God's word, but there's nothing that will ever destroy. There's nothing that will ever stamp out or eradicate the word of God. It has stood the test of time. You too can stand the test of time by praying God's promise. We're going to look at Isaiah 40, verse 8 to begin with as a focal passage. And then there's other points of scripture that I want us to focus on today as well. But let you would go ahead and turn there if you haven't already, or just feel free to look above my head to Isaiah 48 and follow along as I read these words to you. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Scripture is the actual word of God Almighty. It is the truth. And with this truth, we may pray God's promise. This one verse alone, it tells us, it says, our God stands forever. There's nothing that will knock our God down. Your God cannot be moved. He is unshakable. His word is unshakable. And we see that this grass withers and this flower fades. We can look at our seasons. If your yard's like mine right now, you're probably hoping and praying winter, those winter weeds and winter flowers going to fade away because they're taking over. But they're going to. They're going to wither. They're going to fade away, and then new grass is going to come up, and new flowers are going to come up. But then as the season continues, what's going to happen to those? They're going to wither, and they're going to fade away. And this has been a continuum since the beginning of time. But not the word of our God. It doesn't wither. There's nothing faltering about the word of God. It will stand forever. And this word of God that we have in front of us today is the word that you will live in truth the day that you see your Jesus, whether it be a rapturing of the church or whether it be you drawing your last breath. You too will stand forever with God Almighty because of His promise. Because we don't wither like grass or fade like a flower. Our shell will fade away, our souls shall not. If you are a child of His, it never changes. God's word never changes. It never wavers from circumstance. It's an empowering word. How many of you have ever just read God's word in your alone time and just felt a sense of his presence in a way that you've never felt before? Maybe you felt that at revival. Maybe you feel it when the choir sings. And by the way, when a song moves you, guess what? It is okay to feel the very power of God through song, because most all songs that we sing, especially out of the hymn book, every one of those hymns were generated from the word of God. His spirit can move in and through us in ways that we cannot fathom. We have to let it. We've got to know his promise and believe that we, our soul, will not fade away or wither as the grass. There are thousands of promises in the Bible. Countless assurances that teach us of his goodness, of his love, and his perfect confidence. You ever thought about that? That God has confidence in you? We have great confidence in our God. We know that he will not fail us. But God has confidence in you. If he has called you out to do his work, he has confidence in knowing that you can do it. Why can you do it? Because you believe in God's promise. You believe in what he has set forth for you. You do it with great confidence in your Lord. We boast in our Lord. He gives you the abilities to do wonderful and great things in his name. God wants us to learn them. He wants us to learn the importance of his promises, the importance of his assurances. He wants us to learn the importance of having great confidence in him. He wants us to experience his blessings. And I know I've shared this countless times. He gives us so many blessings day in and day out that we cannot count them. We could try, but we would never be able to count our many blessings. But that's what he wants. He wants to continually pour his blessings upon you. Being here today should be considered a blessing for you. The changing of the seasons is a blessing. Whether you have terrible allergies and sinuses, who cares? It's a blessing to have a new season because you'll make it through. God gives us blessings every single moment of our lives. If you are wise, if you're filled with God's wisdom, you will turn his promises into your prayers, and then you will allow God to hear the very cries of your heart. Many of you may not want to cry out to God, maybe for reasons of pride, maybe for reasons of lack of humility, but it is quite okay to cry out to your God. Men who are in this congregation, it is okay for you too to cry out to your God. Crying is important. It clears and purifies our souls. And there's nothing ever wrong with crying out to your Lord when you're asking him to purify and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. How comforting is that to know that God's eye is upon you and he's always there to comfort you? But on the flip side of that, God's eye is upon you when you are not doing the will of the Father as well. We cannot hide from God's eye. We can try, but we cannot hide from God. But what reassurance David has given us here in Psalm 32, that if we're willing to allow God to instruct and teach us, he will show us where to go. He will show us what to do. This is a promise. You can pray this promise. If you would, listen to 1 Peter 3:12. This word here from Peter is a very reestablishing of what we read here in Psalm. And Peter uses Psalm and Isaiah a lot through his scripture. 1 Peter 3:12 says, For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But listen to what he concludes with. Remember, Preacher John talked about that conjunction, the powerful conjunction of the word but. Listen what it says. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So when you're living a righteous life, his eyes upon you, his ear is inclined to your need. But for those who continually live in evil, he cannot look upon. And see, that's what separates us from the love of God. That word evil. The synonym sin That is what separates you from God. That's what separates me from God. And we have to break that barrier down. We can't do it on our own. We allow God to do it. That's His promise. You must pray His promise so that He can break every barrier down, so that He can remove that sin-filled blot that is within your heart, your soul. If you are wise, not in the ways in which man attempts to be wise, but if you are filled with the wisdom of the infinite God, you have the tools to combat whatever comes your way. You have the means to pray God's promise. If God's Holy Spirit is indwelling within you, you've already prayed the ultimate promise. We can reiterate the Word of God. You can pray back to Him daily, saying and believing in His Word so that He will reveal His path to you. But if you don't fully live it out, the words are nothing. You can say, "I'd rather have Jesus," here on Sunday, and then the world the rest of the week, and what you've uttered on Sunday means nothing. You need to make sure that your heart is purified and that you continually pray to God Almighty. It's a constant work. Being a Christian is a constant work. Every day, all of us fall short of the glory of God. When hardships arise, we need a sure foundation on which to stand. And the song that we can sing, "On Christ the solid rock for which I stand, no other ground," is sinking sand. Do you stand on Christ the solid rock? Have you accepted, have you fully committed to His promise that He has given you? You know, we break promises daily. God's promise will never be broken, as we read in Isaiah 48, because God's promise is His Word. God's Word is His promise. Sometimes our emotions can easily lead us astray through the faulty thinking. And that's why it's very important that you focus on being spirit-driven and not emotionally driven. You know, you get in an argument, or maybe your wife or husband or brothers, siblings say something, before you open your mouth, it's wise to pause for a moment. Of course, if you're like me, I can pause for 2 or 3 seconds or even longer, and then I still have to say it, even though I know I shouldn't have. Amanda says I like to push her buttons, if you can believe that. But it's so good to think before we speak. But from a Christian point of view, we need to react in the spirit, not in the flesh. Not lashing out, not saying cruel words, not being hurtful. Because if we pray God's promise, we've received the greatest promise of all, the ultimate promise, and it's cleansed us. So therefore, we need to live that out. We need, because we made a promise to God. You know, the day that you committed your life to God, you promised to Him all. To Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. I will never, what's it say? Thank you, Ms. Laura. In His presence, ever live. That's His promise. He wants us to experience it. He wants us to share His promise with other individuals. Not your promise, but the promise of God. The Word of our God will stand forever. God will always stand the test of time. And this is how you can pray God's promises, by believing in His Word and knowing that our God will always stand forever. And remember, one day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody's going to fall down on their knees. Why our God stands forever. Peter uses Isaiah 46 through 8 to illustrate that the living and the abiding Word of God is reliable and an imperishable seed. I want to read verses 6, 7, of Isaiah 40. Verse 6 says, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all of the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. Verse 7, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. And then I'll go ahead and conclude with verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. If you would, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, 23, 24, and 25. Peter knew the importance of stressing to his people, reiterating the word will never fade. The word of God will stand the test of time. And so here Peter reads, or Peter says here in 1 Peter 1, 23 through 25, very important, and follow along please if you would. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Here we read from Isaiah 46. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the gospel. This is the word. We are born of an incorruptible seed. It is important to understand and know the corruption that is in our lives. But we can become incorruptible through the word of God, because his word will never fail. His word will stand the test of time. The living and the abiding in God's word will allow you to stand the test of time. This is praying God's promise. Don't ever be afraid. Don't ever be ashamed to pray God's promise. If you believe this, and if you've accepted his saving grace, you have already prayed the ultimate promise of God, and the promise of God is his salvation. Remember, it's not your salvation. It is his salvation which he has given unto you. It is a free gift, the gift of eternal life. That is his promise. As Peter quoted Isaiah 46 and 8, he stressed the importance of enduring the nature of the word of the Lord. He speaks of the importance of flesh and all materialistic features, and we focus on those things quite often. We focus on all the things of this world. They will not stand the test of time. Only those who believe in God will stand the test of time. None of us can ultimately afford to place our faith in anything else but Christ Jesus. We need support groups. We need friends. But you got to make sure your support group and your friends are the right support group and the right kind of friends. Once again, that's why this time of worship, corporate worship, is so important. When we gather in times of fellowship, that's why those things are so important. That we can show one another, that we can show this world, that we can have fun together as Christians. Not having to go out and taste the things of this world to have fun. We've all done it. I've done it. I've tasted and seen what sin can afford. But I cannot afford with my own soul to enjoy those sinful desires. None of us can. It's temporary. A total separation from God is eternal. To be separated from our Lord is eternal damnation. And that is for those who have not understood, nor prayed, or accepted the ultimate promise of God being the greatest plan ever created. And that is the plan of salvation. God is permanent. God is enduring and God is trustworthy. Wouldn't it be nice to be a part of that type of family? That type of lordship over your life? Knowing that you can surrender to someone who is the wisest of wise, the greatest of great, the champion among champions. Have you prayed God's promise? Many times in our Christian walk, and I say this to those who are believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, we can recant our time as becoming a Christian. We can remember the days of how it felt and how we strive for a little while to live for Him, and we got caught up in the ways of the world, and He would draw us back, and then we'd be on fire for Him again, and then we would begin to wander, and then He would draw us back. How much greater would it be if we all would just come unto Him and never waver from His plan of righteousness for our life, and never waver from the promise that we made to Him on the day that He gave us our salvation, and that we wholeheartedly served Him or serve Him with gladness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Then you can go and read in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." And how is that eternal life obtained? Through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Then Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." What a promise. Have you prayed that promise? Have you prayed it with great intensity? A heartfelt prayer. How much different would your life be if you truly bowed down to Him and let Him have total control of your life? Being willing to be led by the Spirit is the greatest decision that anyone could ever make. There is no greater prayer than one could ever utter than to pray to your God up in heaven to save your soul. There's no greater promise that's ever been told than the promise that God has given us through the sending of His Son, Jesus. Have you accepted that promise? Do you believe in that promise? Will you surrender all to Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Father, we come to you at the close of this service today. God, just asking you to move in and through us, filling us with your love and your joy, unspeakable joy. Purifying our hearts this morning, God, so that we can serve you better, that we can focus on you, God, and you alone. God, I know there's many broken hearts in this sanctuary today. Many people suffering through various trials of life. And God, I just pray this morning, if they have not prayed your promise, may today be that day. May your salvation come rushing into their souls at this very moment, cleansing them of all unrighteousness, God, and guaranteeing them a spot at the feet of the Lamb. God, we love you and we praise you. And I do thank you for your promise, the promise of life eternal. In your name I do pray. Amen.